Well, you are almost halfway there. This is our eighth lesson in our series on Ericksonian hypnosis. And I know that if you've been listening to these MP3s and you've been doing the assignments, you already feel like you're beginning to speak Ericksonian in a new way. And that's awesome. So you can congratulate yourself for having made it this far. In this session, I'm going to talk about the last of two specialized suggestions. And then I'm going to turn to the subject of time distortion in hypnosis, which has always been one of my favorite techniques in hypnosis, and I'm going to end this session with a demonstration as well. As we talk about specialized suggestions, the last two are blind comparable alternatives and confusional suggestions. And again, from lesson one or lesson two, confusion techniques have long been associated with Milton Erickson. The blind comparable alternatives really is a classic double bind. It creates a forced choice where both choices are favorable, or in the case of hypnosis, where both choices result in the goal being accomplished. For example, this is how it could be used during the induction or even during the pre-talk. Do you enjoy a deep, satisfying hypnotic experience while you're sitting in this chair or in that chair? Doesn't matter if I choose this chair or that chair. Either way, I'm going to get a deep and enjoying hypnotic experience. So I could put this in the context of suggestion for, let's say, fear of flying. In fear of flying, this is a technique that I've actually used with clients, and my clinical supervisor in graduate school used this technique as well. Clients will often come to us for fear of flying because they have a specific need to fly. My experience has been these folks are business travelers, they've changed jobs, and a flight is coming up. And what I've done with folks is I've actually done typically three sessions with them. In the third session, I'll actually fly with them. I will actually fly with them, as long as they're buying the ticket, from, you know, where I am to a nearby city. And that gives a chance to sort of have a chaperone handhold them through the practice of the things that they learned in session number one or number two. So in setting that up, the suggestion could be given during trance to make a choice. But this is a blind comparable or a bind comparable alternative. So I've done the session, we've done the induction, we've done the deepener, we've done suggestive therapy. This is session number two. We're getting near the end. And so as you continue to relax here in the safety of the chair, usually I'll do a visualization with them of really what is future pacing, how they're going to handle a flight. And as we look towards flying together, you have the opportunity to choose whether you'd like to fly this week, tomorrow, or the next day, or if you'd like to wait until after the weekend for you to make your first flight to Houston. Well, it doesn't matter if they choose this week or after the weekend. They've made the choice to take that flight with me. And so the bind comparable alternative is really a double bind. They make a choice, and either way, they're still making the choice to take that flight. It's really only useful if the client accepts the bind and responds within the parameters of the suggestion. And because of that, what we want to do is we want to be using bind comparable alternatives when we have developed sufficient rapport with a client. This is something that can be high risk. So something I usually suggest for after the first session, maybe even after the second session, depending on the level of rapport we've developed with our client. But when we have rapport, they almost always accept the bind. And because they accept it, they've made an affirmative decision towards moving in the direction that they need to. Confusional suggestions are suggestions that deliberately are constructed to disorient or confuse the client. This builds responsiveness, overload, and an overly intellectual demeanor responds positively to confusional suggestions. It can also be used to facilitate dissociation, which I talked about, I think, in lesson number two or three. The advantages of confusional suggestion is that they're not linear or logical. They generate uncertainty, sometimes even anxiety rather than comfort and clarity. And so what they do is they force concentration on the part of the clinician to see where the process is going. It also forces the client to a higher level of alertness or awareness that can be valuable in interrupting ongoing patterns of thought and perception and to pave the way for new possibilities. Here's an example. You can think you consciously understand the point of each suggestion, but your unconscious likes clarity too. So if you consciously organize around conscious understandings that you unconsciously believe or consciously work for you, and unconsciously structuring the conscious and unconscious patterns for knowing consciously at an unconscious level, that you can overload someone's ability to comprehend. Then you can just consider using confusional suggestions when they seem like the sensible thing to do with the clients who you work with. I want to move now into a discussion of time distortion in hypnosis, one of my favorite subjects. Time distortion is the phenomena of losing track of our internal timekeeper for a therapeutic purpose. It is a prevalent phenomena in trance. It's something that almost all of us are aware of experiencing, even in the normal tasks of life. Time distortion is hypnotic phenomena. We have to remember, though, that all hypnotic phenomena happens in all of life. There isn't anything that only happens when sitting in a hypnotist's office. And so let me give you some examples of where you may have felt time distortion. Have you ever gone to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning in the exact same spot and it feels like no time went by? It feels like you just laid down and went to bed. But when you wake up in the morning and look at the clock, you realize you've been in bed for 9 hours. You slept longer than you usually sleep. That's time distortion. Another example of time distortion. You're sitting in front of the computer and you're doing some work and you look up at the clock and you realize 3 hours have gone by, but it seems like you just sat down to compose that letter or check that email or do whatever it was that you were doing. On a car trip, highway hypnosis, this can really go kind of either way. You get in the car and you drive on that 200-mile drive that usually takes about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, and you get there, and because you know maybe you were on the phone the whole time or maybe you were deep in thought, the trip just didn't seem that long at all. Or the opposite is true. You're driving through Nebraska or through Kansas, and what is only a 3-hour trip feels like it took you all day long to make. Time distortion from the other perspective. So we've all experienced time distortion, and time distortion as something that we direct our clients towards in hypnosis can be used for a variety of different reasons. It can be used as a convincer after the session to convince the client that they were in fact hypnotized. Now, why would we want to convince the client they were hypnotized? Well, because hypnosis is a normal state, trance state. Clients will often acknowledge, I feel relaxed, or I feel better, or that felt helpful to me, but it didn't really feel like Hollywood portrays hypnosis. So they don't know they're hypnotized. Our clients have a belief, and that is hypnosis will change me. And so if they know they were hypnotized, they will act on that belief and they will in fact be changed. So I like to use what are called proofs or convincers after the hypnosis session. In fact, rarely do I ever use convincers with my clients before the session. I mean, what am I convincing them of? They called me, they made an appointment, they drove over to my office. If they didn't think I would help them, they wouldn't be there. So I don't really feel a need to convince anybody of anything before the session. But after the session, I want them to know that they were, in fact, hypnotized. I time all of my sessions. I have a digital clock in my office. And I know exactly how long each session was. And I usually average between 27 and 35 minutes for a session with a client. That's my typical, from close your eyes to open your eyes. I spend more time with clients, but the formal trance process usually about 27 to 35 minutes. So when I'm done, I will often say to a client, you know, 1, 2, 3, open the eyes, wide awake, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. And then I will ask him this question. I will say, about how long did that session feel to you? That question almost always catches them sort of off guard. They sort of look around and they say, well, I know it couldn't have only been 5 minutes, but wow, it felt like it was 5 minutes. And then I say to them, I point at the clock, which they probably didn't notice before, that's actually right next to them. I'll say, well, I've been timing the session and it was 32 minutes long. And I say, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And the reaction is, wow, I must have really been hypnotized. Then I'll usually ask them, you know, do you remember some of the suggestions I gave to you? And it's kind of like a dream. They know they dreamed, but they're not sure what the dream was. And that's what the suggestions are often like for my clients. They know I was talking, and they know they were listening, and they know I gave them suggestions. And when they try to recall them, they usually can. But sometimes I have to fill in the blanks for my clients, and that's great. Sometimes my clients will say to me, when I ask them, how long did that session feel? They'll say, well, I know I haven't been here 8 hours, but wow, it felt like it was 8 hours long. This time distortion the other direction. I'll say, well, you're correct. You weren't here for 8 hours. That was 32 minutes. I'll say, wow, what an incredible feeling. By the way, about 80% of my clients have time distortion in that it felt like it went by really quick. About 15% of my clients, they have time distortion the other way where it seems like it's super slow. And about 5% of my clients say this, huh, how long did that feel? Let me think about it. 32 minutes. And although that's not the answer I want, it happens about 5% of the time. And I don't say to them, oh, wow, you must not have been hypnotized because you didn't experience time distortion. I say, that's awesome. You're almost correct. It was actually 33 minutes. What that means is that you were really able to focus during the session and pay attention to the suggestions that I gave you. And because of your ability to really focus during the session, I know that you are going to do fantastic. So congratulations. And so that's what I do for the 5% who don't experience time distortion. Because they did not experience time distortion does not mean that they did not experience hypnosis, and does not mean it wasn't useful for them. So I simply normalize that response. Time distortion in hypnosis can be a tool for shifting perceptions and priorities. If you've ever been in a real big hurry and you had to get a whole bunch of different things done, and then something comes along, maybe a crisis or maybe something that totally distracts you, and your priorities get shifted and you recognize that you did not have to get all of those things done in that order and that time period that you imposed on yourself, time distortion can be used in suggestion to do that. Time distortion is kind of like being a little kid, and you remember the little metal merry-go-rounds you used to spin around on, and you'd spin around and spin around and spin around, and then you'd get off of it and you'd try to walk in a straight line, but you couldn't because your equilibrium was confused. Well, time distortion can be a mechanism for inducing confusion, which we have already pointed out throughout this course can have benefit in a number of different ways to our clients. Time distortion is a way of altering automatic behaviors. It's a way of altering automatic behaviors because automatic behaviors are often time dependent. I do this as soon as I wake up. I do this when I take a break. Smokers, you know, as soon as I get done with the shower, I smoke a cigarette. As soon as I take a break at work, I smoke a cigarette. And so time distortion is a way of altering automatic behaviors, and teaching your clients to utilize time distortion can actually be a way of changing their routines. For those who do age regression, and again, I want to stress, Ericksonian hypnosis does not emphasize regression. It does not ignore the fact that regression is one of those hypnotic phenomena that exists, and it can be utilized. Where do I use regression? Well, I do regression, if you want to call it that, with my smokers. I take them back to a point before they ever had their first cigarette. And then I induce hypnotic amnesia so that it is as if they have never had a cigarette in the first place. And so time distortion can be a tool for those types of suggestions. Time distortion can also be particularly useful in future pacing. If I have a client who I would like to future pace with, this is often with my my public speaking clients, my confidence clients, my sports performance clients, my fear of flying clients. I want to work with them using future pacing as a technique. And time distortion is a way of bringing them to a level of trance depth where they're ready to future pace. I want to share with you in this section, and there's going to be some demonstration here, so if you're driving, again, skip ahead. But I'm going to share three methods for time distortion. I'm going to demonstrate the first. And the first is something I frequently do as part of a hypnotic induction. I will do it as a deepening technique, and I've also done it when I want to bridge between methods of suggestive therapy. You know, it's interesting. All therapy is not just metaphor suggestive therapy or direct suggestion or experiential processes. What I call a transitional deepener is something that divides the style of suggestion that I'm going to be using during a suggestion, during a session. And sometimes that divider is a simple number count. And as you continue to relax, 3, 2, 1, 0, because earlier I may have done a number count, a longer number count. So it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes, though, I will do a longer transitional deepener, maybe even longer or different than the original deepener. And time distortion techniques are one of those that I sometimes use. So I'm going to do a short induction with you and then go into the confusion script with you, which, by the way, is, of course, included in your notes. And so find a comfortable place where you can relax, not in your car unless you're parked. And breathe in and breathe out. Pay attention to your breath. You don't have to speed up or slow down the breath. Simply breathe. And as you breathe in and out, observing the breath, taking time to appreciate this moment, close the eyes, and with the eyes closed, continue to breathe. With each breath, letting the muscles in your body become more and more relaxed. Of course, if you need to move for comfort or stretch or even scratch an itch, those things won't disturb you or make you unhypnotized. In fact, they'll actually help you to relax even further and experience an even deeper level of trance. And so you've come here today, you've made it this far up to lesson number 8 to learn new strategies that can truly help you with the clients who you work with. And so you should have no doubt today that your objectives will be met. And notice how wonderful it feels to take this time to practice and relax. Feels pretty good, doesn't it? As I count backwards from 5 to 1, with each number, allow yourself to access that resource state we call hypnosis, doubling the sensation of relaxation with each breath and with each number. 5, 4, 3. All the way down now, completely relaxed. 2, 1, 0. And as you continue to breathe with each breath, simply double the sensation of relaxation. In this state of deep trance, with each breath, notice your heart rate becoming more smooth and more rhythmic, and how wonderful it feels to enter a state of deep relaxation. You can even deeply unclench the jaw and deeply relax your shoulders, allowing the hands that are resting in your lap to become warm and heavy, very relaxed. Now think of a clock, or think of a watch, an analog clock or an analog watch. The old kind of watch with a round dial. And imagine the hands at 12 o'clock. Both the small hands and the big hands. Straight up at 12. Imagine seeing that clock though and realizing that in this state of deep relaxation, it's no longer important what the numbers on the clock say. In fact, you could move the hands to 6 o'clock, or to say 3 o'clock, or 9 o'clock. And it wouldn't make any difference to you. In fact, as you continue to relax, you can let go of the meaning of time and let your clock move from 12 o'clock all the way to 7 o'clock. And from 7 o'clock back around to 1 o'clock. From 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and even move it to 9 o'clock. You can even imagine that the hands of the clock not only go clockwise, but can even go counterclockwise, backwards. It's your clock, it's your watch, you can imagine it any way you'd like to. No longer concerned about day or night, morning, a.m. or p.m., 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock. The time that it is right now is actually now o'clock. This moment, this time, right here and right now. And continue to relax with each number. Doubling that sensation of relaxation, 3, 2, 1, 0. Enjoying this time of learning and enjoying this time of deep relaxation. But because this is, again, only a demonstration that you've learned from and that you can use to create time distortion with your clients, it is time to reorient. And so take in a deep breath, and when you take in a deep breath, notice what now feels like. And as you breathe in, breathe out, let the oxygen fill your lungs. As it fills your lungs, let the oxygen be carried to every cell of the body, feeling energized, awake, and invigorated, feeling wonderful, and bringing your full attention back to the chair where you're sitting, to my voice, and to this learning session. 1, 2, 3. Opening the eyes, wide awake, fully alert, and feeling fantastic. That is a short demonstration, again, in time distortion in hypnosis. And ask yourself, how long did that feel? I wasn't timing that session because I'm not in my office. I don't have a clock here. But I think that was probably at least 7 or 8 minutes, and maybe even more. And I'm certain that for most of you, it probably felt like 2 or 3. Or maybe you have no clue how long it felt like because you were simply enjoying right now. The moving clock imagery with a client who's visual can really confuse their relationship to time. And it can move somebody who is obsessed with the past or worried about the future to what I call now o'clock. Another way we can use time distortion, another direct suggestion we can use, is that an hour can seem like a minute. And we can do this as either a direct or an indirect suggestion. We can say to a client during our session that keeping time is so much effort, it is hard to know what time it is. And we can release them from the anxiety of a schedule or an agenda. This, of course, tells a client who's experiencing pain that it's hard to know if it's time to experience pain. Because paying attention to pain takes so much effort. By simply taking a minute to enjoy a process of hypnosis, whether at home, work, or in a car, they can forget about the hands of the clock. They can forget about, I hurt more in the morning or I hurt more at night. They can forget about keeping time, and they can forget about what time it is. And so time distortion is one of those techniques that I will use with my clients who are pain control clients. This is also helpful in forgetting to remember or remembering to forget those automatic cues in their environment. Let me guide you through another short and brief example of here of how I might use hallucination in pain control and time distortion. So imagine you're one of my clients and you're here for pain control, and we've done some other things as well, but this is one of those techniques that could be useful. And so close your eyes, imagining you're my client here for pain control. And deeply relax. Although your pain level may have been high, and although you may now be aware of your discomfort, over the next couple of minutes, you'll have an opportunity to look at your pain from a new perspective, and in time, the treatment that you're enduring right now will come to an end. You'll have that surgery, radiation, or other medication. In a few weeks, a few months, or a few years after this, you'll feel, of course, better than ever. You'll no longer be in the midst of the trial that you're currently in. You will have solved your health problem, and you'll look back on this time as a difficulty that you passed. And so imagine yourself a year from now, seeing yourself as you know you will be, no longer healing, but fully recovered. Imagine that. Create that image in your mind and see yourself as you know you will be. Allow yourself right now to feel the feeling that you know you will feel in a year. When the fusion has occurred, the radiation has taken place, or the medication has helped you to succeed. Imagine yourself doing next year what you can't do right now. Bending the body, moving the body, getting up out of bed, or even running. See yourself doing that, which right now might seem impossible, and involve your senses in the experience. Picture yourself up out of bed, running outside, smelling the scents of the day, feeling the pavement below your feet, the sounds of the neighborhood, and seeing the radiance of the sun. Of course, we know that everything that does exist was a thought first. And so by creating that imagery today, there's no question in my mind, nor should there be in yours, that the future possibilities are endless. What the mind conceives today, we know the body can achieve tomorrow. And so let yourself reorient to the room, to the chair below you, paying attention to my voice, the air in the room, and allowing yourself to return to this time and this place with hope and knowledge of how well you are doing. 1, 2, 3. Open the eyes. Feeling fantastic. Again, elements of time distortion in that future pacing for the medical client. All useful strategies that really have their basis in Ericksonian hypnosis techniques. There are two exercises that really complete today's lesson. And the first is to actually take out a piece of paper and write out a script using the suggestive patterns that I outlined at the beginning of this lesson. The second exercise is to actually practice time distortion as a tool in your self-hypnosis or your meditation. You know, a lot of people who practice meditation become antsy about how long they spend in meditation. Time distortion is a wonderful tool for no longer being concerned about how much time you're spending in meditation. You can actually simply spend it in meditation. There's a third exercise, and if you're flying, intentionally use self-hypnosis techniques as a tool for distorting a long, boring flight into a short flight. On almost every flight I get on, I put on my headphones, I listen to theta-level binaural beat music, I relax into a state of deep trance, and I get off the plane hours later feeling like I've been there for just a few minutes. You can also use this really in any situation where you may be faced with a boring or monotonous task or one that you're not particularly looking forward to, and have the ability to simply zone off, adrift, and enjoy a state of deep relaxation, deep trance, or deep meditation.